But I want us to talk a little bit this morning about breakthrough, about barriers, because Jesus broke the biggest barrier. I like the statement that Ronald Reagan made. He said, there's no constraints to the human mind, no walls around the human spirit, no barriers to progress except what we ourselves erect. In other words, there's no barriers in life that can stop us except the ones that we erect, the ones that we put around us. There's nothing that can hold us back except the barriers that we as a human being, as a person, set around us. The great news about that is if we've set them up, if we put them there, if we've erected them, then we can take them down by God's help. We can take them down so that we can expand our thought life into a greater sense of being able to become everything that God wants us to be. In other words, we can change our mind in such a fashion or transform our mind in such a way where there are no limiters. There's no limitations of what God can do. And if we were to read in Psalm 78, we would see that the children of Israel there put limiters on God. The Bible says that they limited God. In other words, there was things that they did that limited God in doing what he wanted to do in their lives. And if we were to read through that scripture, we'd find out that one way that they limited God in working in their lives is that they refused to remember what God has done. And that's one of the reasons why we come together on a time of resurrection morning. One of the things that we're doing is remembering what God has done. We remember the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. We remember that, and in remembering, we set the stage for God to release the power that raised Jesus from the dead. We set the stage for that to come up again, to bring that power into today. Well, you might say, well, Pastor Brill, how could we bring that power into today? Something that happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus himself died. Well, every time you see someone come into the kingdom of God and are born again, you see that same resurrected power being demonstrated in our midst. You see, when somebody gives their life to Jesus, when somebody claims that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, that his blood has washed their sins away, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is activated. And so when we talk about that, we set the stage for that power to be released again. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, then you can be raised from the dead today. What do you mean, Pastor, being raised from the dead? Well, the fact is that the Apostle Paul wrote very clearly that every one of us were dead in our trespasses and sins before Jesus came along, before Jesus came into our lives. So if you're dead, you need a resurrection. There are some things that need to be resurrected in life. There's some things, maybe I want you to think about that a little bit this morning. There are some things that need to be resurrected that have become dead. Maybe they were alive one time in your life, but have since died. In other words, maybe you had a relationship with God one time, and you've let it slip, you've let it wane, you've let it dry up and become dead, really. Well, today's the day to resurrect it. Today's the day to bring it up. And we all do that. There's some things in our lives that are good at one time that we let slip. And sometimes we need to go back and say, God, I want to resurrect this. I want to resurrect this in my life. One of the things that we want to resurrect here is something we used to do we used to pray. Well, put up Acts chapter 19, verse 11. Rob, 11, 12. This is a verse in the Bible that speaks of extraordinary miracles. How many want to see more miracles in their lives? How many want to see more of God's power activated in your life? Well, if you want more, but you're going to have to talk about it more. You're going to have to talk about more about what God has already done in your life, and you're going to have to open the door for new experiences to come into your life. Now, we used to practice this verse, how God did unusual or extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or towels or apron which had touched his skin were carried away and put upon the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. In fact, when the Apostle Paul, the anointing was on him and around him, that he was doing, we call it tent making, but really he was doing something outside of ministry. But when he would minister, when he was working, the anointing would get upon him so much, the same anointing that drives out sickness and disease would get upon him in such a way that it would saturate the aprons and cloths that he would wear. And so people would rip that up and go here and there and bring it to people and put it on the sick people, and they would be healed, and demonic forces would be cast out. And we used to have people come in all the time and bring cloths and so forth, and we would pray over them, and God would do miracles. So I want to resurrect that this morning. And that's what this table here is all about. I want us to, if this is where your faith is now, then you're coming to service on Sunday morning and you say, well, I'm praying for somebody, or there's somebody who is sick and I want to have a prayer cloth. I want to have the body of believers pray over it so that the anointing will saturate it and that God will move upon that. So you can come and bring your cloths and set it here, and we'll pray about it over at each Sunday, and then you can take it. You don't leave it for the next week, you take it that week, that particular day. The reason why I say that is because things have a tendency to pile up after a while. But you take it to Sunday, you get it prayed for, and then you remove it, you take it with you. See, God honors your faith. And I believe in doing this, we open the door for God to do unusual miracles, unusual manifestations of the power of God. We're believing that today. We're believing for the unusual. Are you believing for the unusual in your life? What do I mean by the usual? Well, the usual is the mundane thing that happens in everybody's life, and it, almost like things have to happen. If this happens, well, then this has to happen. Well, an unusual miracle of God can come in and shift that around completely. So you get a bad report from the doctor, and the doctor says, this has got to happen. You've got so many years left or whatever. Well, the unusual is when God can come in and say, no, I'm going to breathe life into that individual, where the usual is not going to happen. The unusual is going to come in and bring healing to that person's life. Thank God. Now, we've heard lots of testimonies about prayer cloths taking the individuals and how people have been healed by it. But we're talking about barriers being broken. Barriers being broken. Praise God. I love to see barriers broken. Now, a barrier, I don't know what you have in barrier in your life, what it looks like, but a barrier is a circumstance or an obstacle that keeps people or things apart or prevents communication or progress. So a barrier in your life might be something that's keeping you from the progress that you want to make in your life, keeping you from moving forward in some area in your life. One way to describe a personal barrier is that thing, that vice, that way of thinking that keeps you from obtaining or attaining the life that God has designed for you. You see, your breakthrough might look different than mine. God has designed a life for you and wants you to break through. He wants you. This is Resurrection Day. And so this is Barrier Breaking Day. This is Resurrection Day, so we want to break through the barriers that has been put upon our lives that the enemy has tried to get us to accept. Yeah. We don't want to be held back. Jesus breaks the barrier of death. The grave couldn't hold him, could it? Jesus breaks the barrier of death itself. Praise God. In other words, he's taken away the fear of death. He's breaking that barrier for you and I, because no matter what happens, those people in Kenya this week, about 150 Christians who were singled out and slaughtered, today, yes, they were martyred, but they're in glory now. And even some of the Christians that are left there will say that they're not afraid of death. Why? Because Jesus has taken the sting of death away, because they're looking for eternity. They're looking for glory in heaven. Jesus has broken the barrier of death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And Jesus already took care of it. He died. The grave couldn't hold him. He destroyed it. That's something that you and I can shout about. So if Jesus already paid the price for taking care of the last enemy, that means every other enemy is defeated as well. Every other enemy has been taken care of. The barrier that is holding you back from experiencing the joy-filled life has already been broken. See yourself as one who has broken through. In other words, you see yourself as somebody who has already broken through. But now you have to ask yourself, what does a God-designed life look like for me? You can't take somebody else's design. You have to take it for yourself. What does a God-ordained or designed life look like for me, for you? What are the things that you would count as barriers that you want to break through? They may look different than mine. One thing for sure that we know, that God designed every one of us something. In John 10:10, we see where the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he's declaring that every one of us, he's come to give us life and life more abundantly. Life, the fullness of life, the Zoe, that's what the Greek word life there is, Zoe, Z-O-E, and it means a God life, a life as God has it. Now I want you to know, God is not sick, he's not poor, he's not depressed, and he's not oppressed. So the God kind of life speaks to us of hope, peace, joy, a fulfilled life. As somebody who's able to walk in the zest of life and say, I'm so happy to be alive. I'm so filled with joy to be alive today. That's what God has designed for each and every one of us. Not just struggling through life and barely getting by, barely getting along. No, God has ordained a life for us to enjoy, a life of fullness. But first, we have to change our thinking. We have to change our thinking and see ourselves as people who have broken through. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in heart, so he is. So what do you think about yourself in your heart? What are the things that you think about? What do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a broken down person, just barely being able to make it through life and just hoping and wishing that someday that you're going to go into glory? Or do you see yourself as somebody who has already been resurrected from the dead, who has a changed life, who has the power of God living on the inside of them, and are looking forward to a bright future, knowing that God says, I have a hope and a future for you. I have before you life and death. Now choose life this day, and you'll enjoy it. But you must decide. You have to decide. Change your thinking, change your life. Every one of us are in that place. I want to share with you a couple of scriptures here concerning Elisha. Elisha was a prophet in the Old Testament who did some mighty miraculous things ordained by God to do. One of the things is, and this is the main example, I guess, or the main historic event that took place that you and I think about when we think of Elijah the prophet. One was that he went up against the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Jezebel. He set forth a challenge to all the prophets of Baal. There was something like 450 prophets of one demon god and another 250 of another demon god. And he put forth the challenge saying, let's put forth a sacrifice. Let's cut an animal up, put it in the altar, on the altar, and see whose God actually comes and answers by fire. Because we can read in examples in the scripture where God came at different times, and when man would sacrifice, there would be literally a fire come from heaven and burn up the sacrifice. So Elijah set this about, and he told the other prophets, you go ahead and call on your God. And so they went ahead and they called on their God, and they whipped themselves and beat themselves with whips, because that's what they did. When you serve a devil for a god, there's all kinds of mean things that happen to your body. You do all kinds of weird stuff in order to appease their god. Well, they did this, and they did this until the evening sacrifice all day, and they never answered. And then so Elijah finally said, that's enough. Then he went about and set his sacrifice on the altar. And then he said, pour water on the sacrifice. He said, dig a ditch around the altar and pour water on the sacrifice until the ditch around the sacrifice is even filled with water. Soak it good. He wanted to prove a point. And then he called on his God. And the Bible said that the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice and licked up the water in the trenches. Really did a job. When he called on his God that way, he was able to take the enemy down. You see, Elijah knew something that the other prophets didn't know about. He knew the God of heaven. And when he called on the God of heaven, things happened. We have to become people who are so convinced that we will call on God and he will answer. He's a God who answers. Elijah said he's a God who answers by fire. But Elijah did something. His journey was finished and God told him to go and call a prophet to come forth in his place. Now, he told him to call Elisha, the son of Japheth, to take his place. Because God told Elijah, I'm going to take you away. So here he found Elijah in a field plowing with 12 oxen. And he was a farm boy and he was plowing. Elijah was spoken to by God to go and call Elisha to be minister in his place. Now, can you think about it for a minute? Here's a guy who's a farm boy who's doing some farming, and probably it was hot work, it was difficult work, and he was just caught up in that, probably had a lot of time to talk to God, probably had a desire to serve God within him, because it seems apparent then that when Elijah went to call him, Elijah knew what was happening. So Elijah goes, Elijah sees Elisha plowing and goes and throws his mantle over him and keeps on walking. And Elijah seemed to know what this meant. In those days, when you threw a mantle on somebody, in this particular case, when a prophet would throw a mantle on somebody else, his coat on somebody else, means that he was calling him to stand in his place. So Elisha immediately said to Elijah, let me go and say goodbye to my mother and father first. And Elijah turned to him and said, basically, go ahead if you want to. What have I got to do with it? In other words, and this is important, in other words, Elijah was saying, this is not me calling you, this is God calling you. So you make up your mind whether you're coming or not. Now, when you want a breakthrough in your life, you want to know if it's a God breakthrough or not. In other words, you want to know what you're looking for. Because if you don't realize what you're looking for, you might miss it. Most commentators on that particular verse, when Elijah said, let me go and kiss my father and mother first, they relate it to in Luke, where the Lord said, if a man has put his hand to the plow, he shouldn't look back. He's not to look back. And so God was calling Elijah right then. And Elijah, the Bible says that he cut off his way of life. He burnt the bridge behind him. He used his oxen, his team of oxen, as a sacrifice. You see, sometimes when God is calling you to breakthrough, you have to let go of what's behind. What worked for you in the past is not going to work for you in the future. What worked for you in this side of the breakthrough, you often don't want to take it through to the other side. You want to let it go. You want to be able to change. You want to be able to walk in the freshness of God, as opposed to trying to drag what you used in the past in order to get by. And some of us are going to have to make some shifts in our lives if we want a breakthrough. Elijah left the oxen and ran after Elijah. We have to decide when we're ready to step through, when we're ready to break through. Most of us want the breakthrough to come really quickly. Most of us want, we're in a tough place and we want to break through now. We want to break through into something that's going to bless us immensely, and we want it to happen now. This reminds me, I might have mentioned this before. Many of you will know who I mean by Jen Johnson, who's a worship leader at Bethel Church. I love her style of worship. I love her music. She really does a great job. But when she was young, she said she always wanted to worship God from the time she was five. And she was told that she didn't have much of a voice. She was told that she wasn't a good worship leader. She wasn't a good worship singer. And she really didn't have much of a voice at all. So she was sidelined. And even as she was growing up as a teenager, she was told that. But she had decided that she was going to worship God anyway. Because she wasn't looking to get in front of people. She just wanted to worship God. All through the years, her teenage years, she eventually got to play and sing in a worship team. The pastor of the house would only let her sing in front of the children at times. They seemed to keep her back. It wasn't until later on that she really began to lead in worship, and God began to move upon her and bring her into a place of visibility. And she, in listening to her testimony, she says this, and she's talking about her journey. She says, I'm so thankful that God kept me back in those years. I'm so thankful I didn't move ahead quickly, because I would never have learned the humility and the things that God worked through me all those years when nobody was noticing what I was doing. Because today, I mean, she's on the world stage. I mean, she would be a person that many people across the world, Christians across the world, would listen to. And if you don't have things worked through you, or if you haven't worked through some things in your life, then that could be the thing that would tear you down. But she thanked God for the years that she was kept in isolation. Elisha was called by Elijah to go and serve Elijah. Now, if we were to read the scripture, we would find out that Elisha asked for a double portion of the anointing of Elijah when Elijah went away. And he got it. If we read the story, we'd realize that Elijah actually was used by God to perform twice as many miracles as Elijah. So it happened. But I want to tell you this story. I want you to think about the journey of Elisha just for a moment. There's a couple of kings. After Elijah went to heaven, there are two kings, the king of Israel and King Jehoshaphat. And they are going against an enemy. They think that God has called them to go against an enemy. Anyway, they are not all the smartest kings in the world, it seems, because they went out into the desert to go against the enemy, and they got lost. The whole army got lost. And so somebody said, is there not a prophet of God? Jehoshaphat actually said, is there not a prophet of God somewhere that we can ask him about whether we are going to be successful or not? Is there not a prophet of God that can give us a word? One of the servants of the king of Israel said, Elisha, the son of Japheth, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah, he has the word of God. Now, I want you to notice what they referred to him as. They referred to him as a servant of Elijah. And if you ever want to get through your breakthrough, if you want to get to the place where God is able to bless you immeasurably and walk through breakthrough after breakthrough, you're going to have to learn to be a servant. You're going to have to learn to wait till your day comes, because God wants to work things through you. You will have to learn to serve, and that means you will have to learn to sacrifice. What is it that you would love to do? What is it that you would love to? Are you like Jen Johnson, who loved to worship God, who loved to be a worship leader? She desired to lead God's people into worship. Are you one like that who desires for that? Well, then you're going to have to willing to pay the price when you're not seen. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice. Elijah poured poured water on the hands of Elijah. Seems like he was nothing but a servant to the man of God. Well, that's where we must get if we ever intend to break through, if we ever intend to get to the place where we are experiencing breakthrough. We must learn to serve. This is Resurrection Day, and God wants you to break through. But he wants you, when you receive that breakthrough, when you come to that place of breakthrough, if you haven't learned the issues of life, if you haven't learned humility and compassion and grace and so forth while God is bringing you up to the breakthrough, then the breakthrough will actually be your destruction. You see, when we enter into a place, a breakthrough, if we're a worship leader, for example, and we break through and suddenly we have all the accolades of people and say you're just wonderful and great, if you haven't learned to channel that directly to God and realize that you are simply a conduit of God's grace and blessing, then those accolades can be our destruction. Does this make sense at all?
Yes.
I'm like you. I want breakthrough.
Amen.
I want breakthrough. But I don't want it at the cost of me losing out personally. You see, breakthrough is something that God wants us to experience, but he wants us to work toward it so that we will be shifted and changed. I thank God in many, many ways. When I got saved in 1980, I became a Christian. I sensed God's anointing on the Word. I wanted to speak about the Word. I would talk about the Word. And it just kind of consumed me. And I had this sense that God was calling to ministry right from that very time. But it was 15 years later that I actually came into full-time ministry. And God worked in my life all through those years. And he worked on the pride that I had in my life. I mean, 6 months after I got saved, I thought I just knew everything there was to know. So something had to happen in order to get that out of me. It's amazing. You go through these stages, hey? You come like a small little child and you look up at your granddad and you think he's just wonderful and you learn everything you possibly can from your granddad and you think that there's not a question that he can't answer. And then you get a little older, you get up to your teen years, and then you know everything. There's nothing that anybody can tell you. And then you get a little older and you realize there's a whole bunch of stuff you don't know. You realize the more you know, the more you don't know. Well, it's the same thing with our Christian experience. Really, it is. But God wants us to walk in humility before him to be able to gain the things of the kingdom of God that will help us with our breakthrough. God is so good. He's such an awesome blessing to it. You know, breakthrough is never easy. When Elijah said to Elisha, he said, "What do you want from me before I'm taken away?" Elisha said this, "I want a double anointing." And Elijah said, "You've asked the difficult thing. You've asked a hard thing." Breakthroughs can be difficult. He said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken up, you'll have the answer to it. But if you don't see me, you won't get the answer." Now think about this. Here's Elijah. And Elisha walking along. Can't go through the whole story, but they're walking along, and suddenly Elijah's about to be taken up to heaven. And suddenly, out of the blue comes a roaring chariot of fire. And the Bible says it divided the two of them. Now, I don't know if you're like me or not, but this is probably what I may have done. I hope I wouldn't have, but I probably most likely, and honestly, I probably would have. Here's Elijah and I walking down, and all of a sudden this chariot of fire comes down, and I step back and I see this chariot of fire go whoom, and I'm watching the chariot of fire, and Elijah's over here going up in a whirlwind. I took my eyes off the prize. He said, "If you see me going to heaven, you'll have the answer." I'm convinced that the chariot of fire came forth really to be a source of distraction if Elijah could have been distracted from his breakthrough. So you and I must know what our breakthrough is, what the breakthrough is that we're looking for, and then keep our eyes on that which is bringing us breakthrough. Don't get distracted at some exciting things that's happening around us and suggesting that if you went this way, it'd make you feel good or you'd go faster or whatever. Keep your eye on that which is giving you the breakthrough. Don't get sidetracked by the unusual. Keep your eyes on the prize. If you do, you'll experience breakthrough in your life. I would love to hear what you consider as a breakthrough that you're looking for in your life. I'd love to hear those things. I'm sure each one of you would have something a little bit different. But I will tell you, each one's breakthrough is attainable. It is attainable if you'll keep your eyes on the prize. Now, we are coming together here. This is Resurrection Sunday, and I'm so glad about Resurrection Sunday. Christ is raised from the dead, new things, and turning a new page in life. For me, it's like turning a new page in life. And why do we remember this? We're going to take communion. We're going to participate in the Lord's Supper. And the Bible talks about remembering, about taking the time to remember what happened. And I want to reiterate this description of the word remember again. I've said it a number of times, but I want it to burn in our spirits. As something that a rabbi said about the word remember. When the Hebrews remember, and the Hebrews, of course, were God's chosen people from the beginning, they seem to have a connection with God back thousands of years ago that most of us are still looking for. But in the Hebrew thinking, to remember is to bring that event back into today. And when we talk about some event that took place in our lives, we are actually creating an environment for the power that was released to us in order to make a breakthrough at one time to be released in our lives again. If we are remembering something, some experience that we had, that God touched us, I know sometimes we've had people, and I've seen it on numerous occasions, where people would come in and begin to worship God and begin to praise Him, and some people who were coming in for the first time would just weep through the whole time because of the anointing, because of the presence of God. Well, that's the power of God being released. We have to go back and remember those times. When we remember those times, it releases that power. I am absolutely convinced that's one of the reasons why God says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but come together. Because when we come together, there is an anointing, there is a power of God released that will help us to stay steady in difficult times. And even if you don't recognize the presence of God, there is an advantage of coming and worshiping together, because you can't help but remember, when you come together, you can't help but remember that Jesus is the reason why we've gathered. And as we receive the Lord's Supper this morning, we are remembering God's death, burial, and resurrection. And the scripture says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. So when we talk about that power, we create an environment for a release of that power to come into today. You want breakthrough? As we remember the Lord's Supper today, we can remember that there's power available to us, that it's resurrection day, that it's breakthrough day for you and I. But we have to keep our eyes on the prize. As we begin to receive communion this morning, let's think about what Jesus has done for us. Think about it. Now, I want you who have been brought up in church and have come as a small child into the kingdom of God, I want you to think. See, you'll look at this different than I will. You really will. You see, I was saved when I was 27 years old. I don't have a lot of good things to say about the way I lived up to that point. I don't have a lot of good things to say about the way I treated other people up to that point. I was destined for hell up to that point. And so when I got saved, when I look at the cross, when I think of what Jesus has done for me, I say, thank God I don't have to die and go to hell. There was a reality of that, because I knew what my sins were like. I can easily go back and begin to experience the joy of the Lord, the joy of my salvation when I go back, because I think of what could have happened. What could have happened in the direction that I was in? So, and I see in a great shift, but some of you would look upon that as in a little bit different way. You were brought up in church, And you were, right from the very beginning, you learned, you were influenced by the anointing, the power of God, and you began to walk with God, you began to know Him in a very powerful way, and you look at things a little bit different, and you have to take the Word of God and realize what God has done for you. Because it's not that you may not have been in the depth of sin and that was so degrading and terrible and so forth to the human mind, that you came up out of it and seeing that it shifted and changed. Maybe that never happened to you. Nevertheless, you can look into the things of God. You can look to the death, burial, and resurrection and see what God has done for you. That you too have been redeemed from the life of a murderer. You have been redeemed from the life of an immoral person. You have been redeemed. God has given you power to live above those things. And so we remember that as we receive communion this morning. Let's stand as we prepare to receive the emblems this morning.